I'm simply saying to you tonight, I do not know what work God has called you to do, but for the thirsty man, for the godly woman, there is an equal anointing to the task that God has called you to do. And I believe that God was saying here, if Zerubbabel and Joshua will be right and will believe right and will seek my power, then I will through them provide light and blessing to my people. And I'm saying tonight, there are some boys and girls growing up in your homes who need an anointed mommy or daddy. They don't need a foul-mouthed daddy. They don't need a cussing daddy. They don't need an angry, bitter mother. They don't need a complaining mommy or daddy. They need a spiritual mom or dad this year. Your wife needs a spiritual husband this year. Your husband needs a spiritual wife this year. Your Sunday school class doesn't need some dry, brushed-off type of lesson. They need an anointed teacher next Sunday, an anointed bus workers next Sunday, and anointed soul winners this Tuesday and throughout the week. And I'm saying to you tonight, God will provide anointing for His people as He did in this day. He will provide it in our day if we seek His anointing and His power.
Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. We're about ready to go into one of the services here at Lancaster Baptist and open God's infallible Word. And I thank you for taking time to grow in your walk with Christ as we enjoy this service together. It's our prayer that today's podcast will meet a need in your life. Let us know how God's working in your life and stay in touch with us at LancasterBaptist.org. Thanks again for joining us today. May God richly bless you. Now let's go to the Word of God.
And the angel that talked with me came again and walked and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick of all gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and the seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Shall we pray? Father, I ask you to help me tonight. I pray for power from your Spirit. I pray that you would give me what I need tonight to convey this great truth. And Lord, I need you and your help, for without you I can do nothing. And so I pray tonight, Lord, that this church family would embrace this truth and live it, and that by your Spirit, all that we've mentioned tonight and so much more would be accomplished and done for your honor and glory. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
In every age, God's people have faced daunting tasks. In every age, God has called upon many times, not a vast number, oftentimes a small number of His people to make a difference in the difficult and daunting task that lies ahead. I think about America tonight. I think about the fact that this past week, for the first time in America's history, there was a man appointed a presidential appointment who was a man but has now become a woman, transgender appointment, first time in our country's history. I think about the rampant spread of immorality. I think about the tremendous, tremendous amount of pluralism, denying of God. I think of how in this country there are so many turning away from the Lord Jesus, worshiping the creation more than the Creator. I think about the family needs tonight. And I think of teenagers often without direction, families often struggling tonight. There is a daunting task ahead of us to reach this world with the gospel and to touch people's lives with the Word of God. And oftentimes as we look at this task, we become quickly aware of the fact that it's way bigger than we are as individuals, as a church. As much as God has blessed this church, it is just so much larger of a task than we could ever hope to accomplish. This task of reaching our generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But our hearts are encouraged when we go back in history and we find that there have been similarly difficult times where it seemed impossible and revival seemed to be a very, very small chance of ever happening. And yet God, many times through one or two people or 300 people or a few praying people, has done by His Spirit what men and women could never have done on their own. Tonight we study one of those times. And we come to the book of Zechariah, a book perhaps not preached often, a man perhaps not studied as often. And to understand the significance of Zechariah's ministry, we must remember previous studies in the life of Judah, the southern tribe of Israel. And you'll recall with me that Judah was carried away in the year 586 into Babylonian captivity. They were taken into captivity, and you'll recall the story, how that God's people were kept there in what is modern day Iraq. You've heard the story of the three Hebrew children and of their faithfulness and of their faith in God. It was in 539 BC that Cyrus defeated Babylon. And Cyrus, the great Persian leader, was a man with a little more of a heart for the children of Judah. And so he allowed the Jews to return to Jerusalem in 538 BC. And by allowing them to return to Jerusalem, he also said that they would be able to go back and build the temple there in Jerusalem. And so in 536 BC, the Jews laid the foundation stone for the temple. And it was a time preceding the work of Nehemiah. It was a time of excitement. It was a time of returning to the land. It was exciting indeed. But something took place in the lives of these Jews. And that issue that took place in their life was the fact that resistance came against them. Many of the pagan neighbors were fighting them. And there came into the hearts of these people a lethargy. And because of that, the work for building up the temple ceased. There was a time of lapse, if you will, in the work of God. The foundation had been laid, but for many, many years, the work just wasn't getting done. The materials were not being given. The workers were not working. The work of God was standing still. And it was during this particular time that God raised up two men to begin preaching to the inhabitants of Judah, to the inhabitants specifically of Jerusalem. And these men had one job. And their job was to challenge these Jewish people to get out of their apathetic mood and get back to doing what God had sent them to do. God did not release them from Babylon and send them to Jerusalem so that they could live in apathy and misery. He had a job for them to do. And ladies and gentlemen, God has a job for us to do. We are not here in the Antelope Valley to languish in apathy and do nothing until the trumpet sounds. I say it again, God has a work for this church to do. But the people forgot that. They needed a stirring up. And so God sent two prophets to them. God did not send two teachers to tickle their ears. God did not send a banjo player on a bench. God did not send a late night comedian. God did not send a puppet show. God did not send a praise band. God did not send a Christian rock concert. God did not send someone to read poetry. When they needed a stirring up, God sent prophets. Preachers. And their names were Haggai and Zechariah. Haggai and Zechariah. And they came to Jerusalem around 520 to 516 BC. And they came preaching messages of revival and calling the people back to the work that God had called them to do. And lo and behold, in 516 BC, the temple was completed to the glory of God. Now, whether you care to admit it or not tonight, all of us in our lives need prophets to stir us up and to remind us that we need to do the work of God by His Spirit. And so as we study this year the truth by His Spirit, we're introduced in the text tonight to three key figures, and I want you to remember their names. First, there is Zechariah. Zechariah was a very young man when he began his prophetic ministry, perhaps 20 years of age, some commentators said. Zechariah 2 and 4 says, "Run, speak to this young man." And his name means Jehovah remembers. And God called Zechariah to preach to his people. And he began his ministry about 2 months after Haggai. And these two proclaimed to God's people the promises of God. The temple had not been touched for 16 years. Imagine that. I have seen churches in my travels. I can think of one here in Lancaster vividly in my mind tonight. A church, perhaps a church that believes Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. And they started a building, and I think it was started 15 or 20 years ago. And perhaps you've seen the building. And the building is not far from here, and it's just plywood, my friend. It's just boarded up. And so it was with the temple. They had started, but they had not finished. And I say again tonight, God has given this church a great start, but we're here tonight to announce we're not finished. Say, when are we going to finish? When the trumpet sounds. Zechariah was a young preacher with a ministry of stirring up apathetic people so that the work of God would be finished. And then there was another man we read about a moment ago named Zerubbabel, verse number 6. He was the head of the tribe of Judah. And Zerubbabel was a man who had great faith to rebuild the temple and who had the leadership responsibility, but Zerubbabel himself also needed to be stirred up. And may we always remember that it doesn't matter if you're a pastor or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. It doesn't matter who we are tonight. All of us need our spirits stirred up in the work of the Lord. And so Zechariah was preaching to the people and preaching to Zerubbabel. And then the third man we will meet tonight is a man by the name of Joshua. Now this is not the same Joshua from the book of Exodus. That's 900 years earlier in the Bible. This is Joshua, who is the high priest of these post-exilic years. This Joshua was the spiritual leader that is mentioned more than 23 times in the post-exilic writings of these prophets. And it was Joshua also who needed to have his spirit stirred up. He was an important leader who would work alongside Zerubbabel. And so it was that these men, Zechariah, Zerubbabel, and Joshua, had a job to do, each and every one of them. And God had placed them in Jerusalem at a very important time in world history. And they were men of destiny. And God had a plan for their life. And my friends, tonight, I don't think most of us ever thought we would see the year 2010. We thought perhaps the Lord would have come by now. Perhaps we thought that some calamity would have overtaken us. But here we are, January 2010. And just like these three men, I want you to know, God has us here tonight for a reason. There's a purpose that God has in mind. And while there has never been a more daunting day to do ministry, and while the challenges seem great, we serve the same God and we have the same Spirit that Zechariah preached about these hundreds of years before us tonight. Now, people try to do ministry in various different ways in 2010. Many ministries are culture driven. It seems the younger pastors and many older pastors as well feel that the best way to attract a crowd is to have a Christian nightclub atmosphere and to have an entertainment atmosphere and to be just exactly like the world, but mixing a little bit of God in with it. They are culture-driven ministries. Some are people-driven ministries. They they are marketing the church, and there's a different club every night and a different opportunity for all kinds of social networking. It's not so much about exalting the Lord as it is about people and exalting people. Some ministries, I'm afraid to say, though they legally are non-profit, really they are just bottom line driven. It's not really about exalting Christ. It's almost more of a business mindset. And may I say tonight, this is the Lord's work. And our mindset must always be a mindset of faith and trusting. And so there are some tonight that are culture driven, some that are people driven or bottom line driven, but there are few that are spirit led and biblically guided. And from the depth of my heart tonight, I say to you, it is my desire to pastor a church that is led of the Holy Spirit of God and guided by the Holy Scriptures of God, and that is true in every sense of the word to the old fashioned calling of God, even as Zechariah of old said, by my Spirit. And I say to you tonight that if you can fully explain the ministry of a church, then something is wrong. You ought to be able to step back sometimes and say, I don't really know how that building got built. I don't really know how we supported 200 missionaries. I don't really know how more than 100 young people have left the walls of Lancaster Baptist Church and are out serving in ministry. I don't understand it all. It's just the Lord that's doing it. That's all, you see. It's not about a business model. It's about the Holy Spirit's work. And so Zechariah was saying, come on, Zerubbabel, let's get the work done. Come on, Joshua, you're the high priest. Let's get the work done. Come on, people, don't worry about the enemies or the economies. Let's just say that by His Spirit, the work can be done. Let's take a moment to see the environment into which Zechariah spoke. First, it was an environment of astounding problems. The problems were astounding in the years 550 to 516 BC. And certainly the problems are astounding in America. The fastest growing religion in America tonight is no religion. We've studied recently in the Washington Post, the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life reported that those with no religious affiliation, the unchurched, were the fastest growing group in the American religious landscape. More than 16% of Americans say that they belong to no church. They identify with no religious group. Fewer than half of those no church or non-church people had been raised without a religious affiliation. The fastest growing segment of society is a non-church segment of society. I simply say that to remind you tonight that there are astounding problems in America. Yes, as I was witnessing to a Muslim lady this week, we were founded as a Christian nation, but we are moving very rapidly from those roots and becoming more and more of a secularized nation tonight. And when you stop and see the secular tide and the humanist tide and the pluralist tide, at times we can feel inadequate for the ministry that God has called us to do. Television shows promoting homosexuality, promoting unwed motherhood, promoting drug use, stars in the sports realm, promoting all kinds of wicked living. And it seems as though the devil's crowd has the money and the airways. And sometimes it's astounding to consider the problems. I see the problems in two areas tonight. First, there is a diminishing faith. And we see this in Zechariah's case as well. The people who arrived after the captivity were at first excited about rebuilding the temple. And they got the foundation laid. But then the enemy came against them. Certainly they came against Nehemiah a few years later. And they did not want the temple. And they did not want the wall around Jerusalem. And because of the enemy coming, apathy set in. And the people got comfortable. And they stopped doing the work. Now let me tell you something tonight. There are many reasons why the devil fights us. But one of the reasons he's going to fight you and fight me is because he does not want the work of God going forward. And he was fighting against these people, and apathy had set into their heart. That's why Haggai came in chapter 1 and verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Haggai simply said, You've got your sealed houses. You've got your nice place of living. But God's house is lying in waste. And Haggai, the prophet of old, was reminding them that they needed to pay attention to the things of God and the work of God and get out of their apathy and into the work of God. May I say to you tonight that the church in the United States of America, I'm speaking of local Christian churches tonight, so-called Bible-believing churches, many of them are apathetic and some of them are pathetic and doing nothing for the work of God, driving around in ease, living lives of luxury while the work of God suffers and missionaries are not supported and children are not being educated. And Haggai said, this isn't right. Somebody needs to see to the work of God going forward. And so Zechariah and Haggai gave in the Old Testament what Jesus would have said in the New. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. What Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporal, but things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, I like it how Lester Roloff said it. Never doubt in the night what God gave you in the light. And my friend, many of us have made decisions in the light of the Word of God. And we've made decisions to serve God and to trust God and to give to God and to love God and to do the work of God. And sometimes the night will settle in and the devil wants us to doubt what decisions were made in the light. But I say tonight that in the midst of those astounding problems of a diminishing faith, there are prophets of God calling out from the Scripture and reminding us to walk in the Spirit. Notice they had a diminishing faith. Notice secondly, they had a desecrated temple. One of the real problems they faced was the problem of their house of worship. Zechariah was encouraging the people to finish the work. They had limited resources. They had enemies all around them. But here, God is telling Zerubbabel, their leader, He is telling them that by His power, it would still be possible. Jesus said if His disciples would exercise the faith of a mustard seed, great works would still be possible. And so it is that in the middle of astounding problems, God sent His word forth through Haggai and Zechariah. And I want you to know that when astounding problems arise in your life, there are prophets speaking still, and the word of God calling still, and there's a message to be heard still in the midst of astounding problems. And that leads us, secondly, to amazing power. You know, one of the things about our God is this. Whenever we face astounding problems, He provides amazing power. That's the difference that God makes. I remember years ago, getting ready to start the college. The church voted in 1995 unanimously to start the college. I knew it was exactly what God wanted us to do. The Lord had shown me that in prayer. Then I began to realize what a daunting task it was. How many of you are glad God doesn't show you everything you're going to face in your life all at once? I was 35 years old. Yeah, let's start a college. And then I began to realize, wow, this is going to take a lot of work and time and money. It's a big project, getting the right people here. And I remember going to Dr. Bobby Robertson after we had just started our first dorm, Gibbs Hall, $250,000 project. It might as well have been $250 million project. And I was thinking, how are we going to finish this? And I sure hope we can fill it. I mean, it holds 34. And boy, about the time you launch out in faith, how many of you find the devil starts saying, you're stupid? Does he ever tell you that when you make a missionary commitment or something? And he was telling me that. And I was talking to Dr. Bobby Robertson about it. I said, this is bigger than I realized, Brother Bobby. I'll never forget what he said. He said, Brother Paul, he always goes like this with his face, like that, if you've ever talked to him. He said, Brother Paul, I don't know exactly, but that's how it does it, like that. And this is what he said. If God's in it, God will develop it. You know what I want this year? I want God to be in it. I can't develop it, but God can. And God can take astounding situations and match an amazing power. Sometimes in life and ministry, we feel so depleted, weary. We feel as though we cannot go on even one more day. Sometimes, as Vance Havner said, you can be gun barrel straight doctrinally, but empty spiritually. Sometimes you get to the end of your own resources and you're weary and you don't know how to fight another day. And it's right then and there that we need to hear what Zechariah had to say. I want you to notice the presence of the oil. The presence of the oil. Verse 2. And said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick of olive gold with a bowl upon the top of it. And his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side thereof. Now here tonight is a vision given to Zechariah of a golden lampstand. This lampstand is not exactly the same as the seven-branched candlestick or the menorah that is now the national symbol of Israel, the menorah from the tabernacle, also the temple. This particular lampstand in Zechariah's vision is a symbol of the Holy Spirit of God. And whenever we read of oil in the Bible, we often look to see if we're reading about the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. In 1 Samuel 16:13, the Bible says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, speaking of David, in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. In other words, when Samuel anointed David, the oil was evidence of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And in the case of Zechariah, we see a vision that is given. And we see that in this candlestick vision, Zechariah saw something not exactly like a menorah, but it was a vision of seven branches and seven lamps. And above this candlestick, we see two bowls. And we see two bowls being continuously filled with oil from olive trees, so that no human priest had to fill the candlesticks with oil as was done in the tabernacle and the temple. But that in this vision, God is going to continuously fill the bowls with oil from the olive trees so that this lamp would never run out. No priest provided the oil. It was always perpetually being provided. And so it was that God was saying through Zechariah, although there is a dimly lit light in Israel, although this is a spiritually dark time, yet I am going to provide oil. I am going to provide the presence of my Spirit in the midst of these people. And the vision was indicative of the presence of oil, the presence of the power of God. Now let me say concerning this oil, the Holy Spirit of God, that this power and presence is still available in 2010. Be not drunk with wine where success, but be filled with the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as ye have the same anointing, teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. I want you to see this again tonight, that the oil, the presence continually of the Holy Spirit, is available to New Testament believers as it was to the Old Testament day, whether it be David, whether it be Zerubbabel, or whatever passage we might read, it is available to us tonight. But let me say very quickly, this power is often neglected by Christians today. Now the power of God had been neglected. For 16 years the temple wasn't being constructed. Zerubbabel and Joshua were not working and walking in the Spirit. Zechariah and Haggai had to remind them of the presence of the Spirit with this vision that was given by God. They had been neglecting the very power that they needed in their life. And many Baptists tonight are neglecting the very power that is needed in their lives. And indeed, they are not only neglecting, they are quenching the Holy Spirit of God. Why and how? Sometimes because of sin. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. My friend, if you believe we face a daunting task, and if you believe we need amazing power, how silly tonight to go one more service with sin in our life and not confess and forsake that sin. Why would we go one day quenching the Holy Spirit of God? But many neglect the Spirit and many quench the Spirit. And sometimes because of pride, the Holy Spirit is neglected. The Bible says He resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And sometimes it's because of various other reasons and pettiness in our lives. But I'm simply saying the presence of the oil was promised to those leaders that they could have the power of God. Notice not only the presence of the oil as we look at this amazing power. Notice the power of the oil. And we come to our text tonight in verse number 4. We read this. Verse number 6, we read these words. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, Zechariah had simply said to the angel, what does this vision mean? What are you trying to tell me with these golden lampstands and with these bowls above them? And these lines of oil into the lampstand. And the trees on top of it all, continually filling the lamps with oil. God, what are you telling me in verse number 4? What are these, my Lord? And the answer comes to us in verse number 6. As Zechariah says to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. Zerubbabel perhaps had come to the excuse-making mode that many leaders come to and many politicians come to and many pastors, and I hear pastors all the time say, you can't have revival in these days. People don't want to go to Sunday night church in these days. People don't want to go soul winning in these days. I've had people say, you can't have revival in our town because there's too much alcoholism. There's too much drugs in this town. And there's too many of this problem and that problem. Hey, listen, friend, the darker the night, the brighter the light. But many just simply make excuses all the time. Many political leaders make excuses about why change can't happen. And so it was with Zerubbabel, but God said, let me tell you what the oil is. I want you to know it's not by your might and it's not by your power that the temple will be built. Might refers to military might. It referred to the fact that the remnant of Israel, of Judah, had no army. They did not have might. And God says you're not going to need any might militarily. And he said, secondly, it's not by power. And that refers to the strength of Zerubbabel. No doubt Zerubbabel could have testified something like this. God, I'm tired. And God, I was already in Babylonian captivity. And now I've been here 16 years with a bunch of complaining, whining Jews that don't want to work. They're afraid of the enemy and they don't seem to care about the work. But God says it's not going to be by military might. And it's not going to be by your power, Zerubbabel, that this gets done. It's not by might and it's not by power. Haggai 2 and verse 5, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my Spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. And so he said, it's not by might, and it's not by power, it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And you watch those Baptists who say, I don't know how it could be done. Why? Building an expansion like that and adding 800 or 900 seats to the auditorium. And how in the world? 4 more nurseries here, 4 more nurseries there, 5 or 6 classes here and there, and a lobby here, and a lobby there, and a driveway there. Doesn't pastor know we're in a recession? And someone else might say, well, how in the world can you expect to have college students come to Lancaster, California, from Vermont, or Maine, or Florida, or Alaska, or Hawaii, or Korea, or Indonesia, or England? How in the world, my friend? Someone might say, what in the world is pastor thinking? Doesn't he understand? And I want to tell you something, friend. I don't understand. Humanly. But that's when we come to the realization It's not by might and it's not by power. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now, there are three ways we can attempt to do the work of God, whether that's your family, whether that's this church. We can trust on our own strength and wisdom. We can borrow the resources of the world. Or we can depend on the power of God. We can trust in ourselves. We can borrow the resources of the world. Or we can depend on the power of God. I'm not afraid of studying. Those that know me well know that whatever the task, I try to do my best to study, to understand, to consider the cost. Whether it's studying architectural plans, or whether it's studying organizational charts, or whether it's studying how to develop a department in the college or the school, or whether it's studying some project that lies before us. There's nothing wrong with studying and preparing. But we must never put our confidence in our studies. We must always put our confidence in our Savior and in His Spirit. We must depend on the power of God. Herbert Jackson was a new missionary assigned to South America. And when he got to his assignment, Mr. Jackson was given a car that was his to use while he served there as a missionary. And Dr. Jackson was a man who did his best with what was given to him, and he noticed that this car would not start without a push. And it was frustrating, but after all, it was a mission field, so he devised a plan that every time he needed the car, he'd get three or four people to help push the car. They would push the car, he'd pop the clutch at just the right time, get it started, off he went. And he did that for two consecutive years. He was just happy to have a car and happy to have a way to get the car started. The day came when Dr. Jackson was transferred to another missionary outpost, and another missionary came in to take his place. And so Dr. Jackson said, "Now let me tell you about the car. Here's what you do. It's a little inconvenient, but after all, it's a mission field." He said, "You just get a couple of fellows here to push it just a little ways down the hill, pop the clutch, and it starts every time. Won't be a problem." The new missionary looked over the situation. He said, "I believe, Dr. Jackson, I see what the trouble is." He said, "In fact, it is right here, a loose cable here near the battery." And he tightened that cable up just a little bit. He hopped in that car, turned on the key, and started up the very first time. For 2 years, needless trouble had been the routine daily. For 2 years, needlessly pushing a car, popping the clutch, and hoping it would start, when all the time the power was there and available. Now you can start this year pushing your car, pop in your clutch, or you can say, "Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. I need your power." The opposite of being filled with the Holy Spirit is being filled with self. And may we remember tonight that we must have the power of the oil. Even as Zechariah prophesied, "Not by might nor by spirit, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." It is the power of the Holy Spirit that will enable us to go and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to serve. 1 Peter 4:10, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." It is the power of the Holy Spirit that will enable us and give us the desire to give. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." I'm saying, if we're going to witness, it's going to be the Spirit that leads us to witness. If we're going to serve, it's the Spirit that leads us to serve. If we're going to give, we must grow in this spiritual grace also. It's the Holy Spirit's power that enables us to preach and to teach. The Bible says of Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles amongst the people, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake." Oh, you see, my friend, he was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. May I say, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to go and witness and to serve and to give and to teach and to preach. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to stay and to be faithful when many are fickle and many are prone to wander and many are looking for a reason to quit. It's the Spirit of the living God that helps us to stay faithful. How could Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, as they were taking stones and getting ready to stone him, as they were gnashing on him with their teeth, how could Stephen keep preaching that message? And the Bible says in Acts 7:55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. I'm simply saying to you this evening that when there are astounding problems in our lives, we must find the amazing power of the Holy Spirit of God. Not by might, nor by power, but by His Spirit. But then I want you to notice as we close tonight, not only the astounding problems, 16 years of inactivity and apathy, not only the amazing power, I mean, imagine the olive trees continuously dripping the oil, continual power provided, but notice thirdly, available people. Available people. How many of you agree with me tonight? There's no power shortage with God. Let me ask that again. How many of you believe there is no power shortage with God? None. But there is a people shortage. There are very few people tonight hungry and thirsty for the power of God. Many are hungry and curious and thirsty about the latest movie. Many are hungry and curious for a new relationship. Many are hungry and curious for more of this and more of that. But very few are thirsty, hungry, seeking, wanting, longing for the power of God in their life. I want you to notice that God provides anointing for His servants. For those who want His power and His presence, notice if you will, in verse number 3 of our text. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. Now here we see the teaching concerning the olive trees. And I want you, as you look at these trees, to recognize that God has placed those trees there for a purpose and with a special anointing. Verse 11, then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Along with the seven branches and lamps, this candlestick had a bowl at the top into which the olive oil dripped from two olive trees. And the olive trees are referred to in verse number 14 as the anointed ones. I believe a reference is made here to Joshua and Zerubbabel and to the fact that God has an intention to put His power upon them for the work that God has called them to do. And I'm simply saying to you tonight, I do not know what work God has called you to do, but for the thirsty man, for the godly woman, there is an equal anointing to the task that God has called you to do. And I believe that God was saying here, if Zerubbabel and Joshua will be right and will believe right and will seek my power, then I will through them provide light and blessing to my people. And I'm saying tonight there are some boys and girls growing up in your homes who need an anointed mommy or daddy. They don't need a foul-mouthed daddy. They don't need a cussing daddy. They don't need an angry, bitter mother. They don't need a complaining mommy or daddy. They need a spiritual mom or dad this year. Your wife needs a spiritual husband this year. Your husband needs a spiritual wife this year. Your Sunday school class doesn't need some dried, brushed-off type of lesson. They need an anointed teacher next Sunday, an anointed bus workers next Sunday, and anointed soul winners this Tuesday and throughout the week. And I'm saying to you tonight, God will provide anointing for His people as He did in this day. He will provide it in our day if we seek His anointing and His power. God says in verse 14, these are the two anointed ones. What a noble title for His servants. Anointed ones. Oil is the general symbol of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Prophets, priests, and kings were anointed with oil. The words Messiah and Christ mean anointed one. But God says, I want you to be an anointed one for your purpose and for your generation. And I say to you tonight that all of us need the anointing of God. I need God's anointing for the unique responsibility of pastoring the Lancaster Baptist Church. And without that anointing, it cannot be done. And you need God's anointing in the areas where you serve. And oh, do you see that God needs available people who will say, God, I want Your power. I want Your Spirit. I want Your presence. Oh, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 18. Oh, this anointing is so vitally needed. Oh, how we need it tonight. We need an anointing to holiness. I see young men studying for the ministry. They think what they need is another tool or another PowerPoint or another song or another person or another building. I've been in the ministry long enough to know that what I need more than anything is the power of God on my life. You can have your building and your PowerPoint. You can have all of your musicians. But if you do not have the power of God, it's nothing more than the Mormon Tabernacle Choir or the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. I'm saying tonight, you may have a nice home. You may have a nice car. You may have your children in the Christian school. But if you're not walking with God, it doesn't matter. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by bank account. It's not by who you know. It's by the Spirit of God. We must have an anointing to holiness. We must have an anointing to lead. This is an era where the demand for leadership exceeds the supply. There's a shortage for leadership in America. If you haven't figured it out by now, I'm a conservative. I'm a Republican. You do not have to be a Republican to be a member of this church. Probably a Democrat put this phone on the front row tonight. But as a casual observer of the Republican Party, I just sometimes ask the question, where's the leadership? No offense to Sarah Palin, but why has it taken a woman from Alaska to stand up and say what dozens of people ought to be saying sometimes about the unborn or whatever? I'm going to get off this in a minute. You just act real happy while I stay here for a minute. There's just a lack of leadership. There's a lack of leadership. And there's a lacking of leadership in the Christian circles. My friends, Joel Osteen. Who I think wrote the book, Your Best Life Now. Joel Osteen, who pastors the largest church in America, 2 weeks ago stood behind a podium and prayed the inaugural prayer for his mayor, who is a lesbian, while her wife stood next to her, and the pastor of the largest church in America prayed the inaugural prayer for a lesbian mayor. God help Joel Osteen. He is an apostate and a false teacher. And we got a lack of leadership in this country. Instead of crying aloud and sparing not, we're just praying for God to bless it. And God will not bless it. There's a lack of leadership. We live in an era where the demand for leadership exceeds supply. And so it is that every one of us who have a little realm of responsibility, a little realm of influence, a little place where we work and serve, more than ever, we need God's power on our lives. Robert Murray McShane wrote to Dan Edwards, a young missionary, the following words. in great measure according to the purity and perfections of the instrument, will be the success. In great measure according to the purity and perfections of the instrument will be the success. It is not great talents God blesses so much as great likeness to Jesus Christ. A holy minister is an awful weapon in the hand of God. God is looking for holy ministers. He's looking for holy fathers and holy mothers and holy teenagers. And when He sees you and when you long for Him, He's saying tonight, there's plenty of oil for you. I've got olive trees sending it down. I've got my Spirit available. There's plenty of oil for people who want my presence. God provides anointing for His servants. And then may I say this, God provides assurance for His servants. He provides assurance for His servants. Assurance to overcome adversity. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul the apostle was facing adversity. I do not claim to understand the kind of adversity he faced. I pray to know a measure of the grace he received. But in his low, low point of life, in a time of great suffering as he came to the Lord, and as he asked God to remove the trial, the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Did you hear that? My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, "God, would you make me strong? I want to be strong. I want to see like other men see. I want to run like other men run. I want to have a voice like other men. God, heal me. God, help me." And God said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." God said, "Do you want my help or do you want my strength?" And Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." God came to him in his time of difficulty. Helen Keller said, "Life is full of adversity and life is also full of the overcoming of it. And the only way a child of God overcomes it is by the working of His Spirit." And God says, "I'll help you with my assurance to overcome adversity." God says, "I'll help you to accomplish and complete your task." The only way a task is completed for God is by His power and by His Spirit. And I think of this task, the temple at Jerusalem. I think of Nehemiah building the wall around Jerusalem. I saw a few months ago a model of the city of Jerusalem with Nehemiah's wall there in the foreground. I saw later a map showing Nehemiah's wall dating back to the 500s here. The wall that extended around Jerusalem. Looking at a portion of the modern day wall there, the old city, you can see also the lower courses were Nehemiah's part of the wall that were made. And Nehemiah came along after Zechariah encouraged Zerubbabel and Joshua. And after the temple was raised up, Nehemiah came, and in 52 days the wall was completed, and it was all done with amazing power, and it was all done by people being available to God. And I want you to understand this, that though there are astounding problems everywhere, we still serve an amazing, powerful God who's looking for people who will be available, and like Zerubbabel and like Joshua and like the people of that day will say, "God, forgive me of my apathy. God, forgive us for not doing what we could have done in your Spirit. God, help us and give us assurance to go on into another world and to another year for your honor and glory." Vance Havner said, "We say we depend on the Holy Spirit, but actually we are so wired up with our own devices that if the fire does not fall from heaven, we can turn on a switch and produce fire on our own. If there's no sound of rushing mighty wind, we have the furnace all set to blow hot air instead." God save us from a synthetic Pentecost. We don't want to see what we can do this year. We want to see what God can do. God says, "I know there's astounding problems, but I've got amazing power for available people." We're not here tonight questioning whether our God's an awesome God. The question is, are we an available people? willing to seek His anointing and be used of Him. Haggai said it this way, "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I have covenanted with you when I came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not." How many of you tonight believe that His spirit remains among us? Then let us enter this new year with faith, seeking God, walking with God every step of the way. Many of the Arab tribes during the First World War came to trust a man, a British scholar, who was known as Lawrence of Arabia. Lawrence of Arabia had different ways of creating relationships with these tribes, and he had, through diplomacy, made many friendships. At the end of World War II, there were peace talks conducted in France. And as these world leaders convened in Paris, Lawrence of Arabia was able to bring several Arab leaders with him to the peace talks. As these leaders came to Paris, they were astounded to come into hotel rooms and to find that by turning a faucet, water gushed out. Endless supplies of water came out of the faucets. It was an amazing sight to them. Many of them were late to the meetings because of their enjoyment of just watching the water come out of the faucets. As the meetings ended and they were preparing to leave Paris, a few of those Arab leaders, with great effort, took the faucets from the walls of the bathrooms and placed them into their luggage to take them back to the desert. When they told Lawrence what they had done, he explained to them, "These faucets," he said, "are useless unless they are connected to the pipes where the water runs through. Unless they are connected to a source of water, these faucets," he said, "are useless." And I say to you tonight, my life, unless it is connected to the source of the water, unless it is anointed by the oil of heaven, is useless. These instruments, this orchestra, this choir, soul winners, teachers, workers, we may look nice, we may carry them around, the supplies, in suitcases, but unless we are connected, unless we have made ourselves available to the Spirit of God, there is no supply of the power. And so Zechariah said to the people of his day, "I want you to see the vision of the candlestick. I want you to see the oil coming in and providing the light, providing the way. And I want you to remember, it's not by your might, and it's not by your power. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord." Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, I thank you tonight for the Spirit of the living God. And I pray tonight that in these astounding times, that we might see that amazing power flowing through available people. I pray that every person in this room tonight would avail themselves, not just to look like a faucet, but to be connected to the power. I pray, Lord, that the goals and plans and ministries that have been presented would not be where we put our trust, but that our trust and hope would be in You and You alone. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. How many tonight would say, "Pastor, my life has been something like the temple, sitting there, dormant, apathetic, not going where it should go. I mean, I'm here, but there's not a building of my spiritual life, my marriage, my family, my children, my ministry. I mean, it exists, but it is not by His Spirit going where it needs to go." And God spoke to me tonight that this theme is what I need. that by His Spirit, His work would be done through me. I don't want to be sitting here next year in the same place like that unbuilt temple. I want my life to be constructed to the glory of God this year. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand tonight? I want my life to go forward by His Spirit. God bless you. You put your hands down. Who's here tonight? You say, Pastor Chapel, there's something I've been trying to do in my own flesh, my own way. And God has shown me tonight it can only be done by His Spirit. And I'm going to ask God for that anointing. I want God's touch this year as never before. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand tonight? There's something I've been trying to do in my own strength and power. God's speaking to me. God bless you. Let me put your hands down. Is there anyone here tonight that does not know Christ as your Savior? You do not know the joy of a personal relationship with Christ, the promise of a home in heaven someday. And you'd say, Pastor Chapel, I'd like to know what that means. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand tonight? Is there someone like that? Not sure that I'm saved. Shall we stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed? Our Father in heaven, we have heard from two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Lord, there are souls to be saved, missionaries to be sent, buildings to be built, families to be strengthened. There are many works to be done. But Lord, we need your anointing tonight. I need it. And I pray tonight that you would mold us, make us, and fill us anew and afresh for this next leg of the journey. I pray for those who lifted their hands and said they want their life to resemble a building project, not an apathetic project. Others who need your power for specific ministry, answer their cry, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word. 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.